Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our weekend devotion as we talk about victory in surrender. Let's pray. O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who gave us your word that we may know you and learn of your purpose for us, we pray that you would open our hearts. Let your light so shine in the darkest recesses of lives that we may see ourselves as you do, and no longer be unaware of your will for us. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our reading for today is from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 26, verse 36 to 42, and I'm reading from the NIV. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled, better translated, anguished and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour?" he asked Peter. "Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." He went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." Just to there, and may God bless his word to us today and always. The word surrender can have so many connotations. Apart from the general idea that it is about giving up of oneself or yielding to the power or control of another, it often carries with it the notion of defeat, or it could be taken as a display of weakness. However, within the framework of a relationship with God, surrender to him does not imply that he has defeated us or that he will impose his agenda on us in order to rid us of our hopes and dreams. Nor does surrender mean that we have to relinquish everything we hold dear. Instead, when we use the word in the context of the Christian faith, surrender, which is not really a word found in the Bible, really points us in a different direction. But I must first introduce a rider. The subject of surrender is not about allowing evil to continue. It's not about being quiet when you should be speaking up. It's not about being a victim. Rather, surrender is about a state of being for a child of God, a lifestyle, an attitude, a mental and spiritual condition that is based on the concept of relinquishing control to God, which is essentially an act of faith, of trust, that God, to whom we completely surrender our lives, will faithfully care for us because he keeps his covenant with his people. What follows is a Christian walk which involves discerning how God calls us to handle various things that come our way, to intentionally give way or yield to God's will as he guides us in Scripture, whether we're dealing with people, life decisions, or other circumstances. As we do, this will bring us to a final state of rest in God, where, having struggled, we arrive at a place of surrender, willingly and joyfully. There are, of course, times when we are able to exchange our will for the will of our Heavenly Father quite readily. But there are also moments when it's so hard to let go and let God have his way, and a struggle ensues as we try to hold on to our will, our way of life, or our point of view, whether we believe there is no need for change, or it's too painful, or we desperately want to feel in control. Whatever the thing is which stops us from moving forward in God's will. In the end, though, God's child needs to come to that place of letting go, to move forward. In some ways, it's very close to the five stages of grief: denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and finally coming to acceptance. It may be, in part, what Jesus was going through in his humanity. Even though he knew it was coming, it was still his life that was in the balance. It would still be painful, and every part of him was feeling a natural human resistance to what was about to come his way. The Garden of Gethsemane is located near the foot of the Mount of Olives. This seems to have been a favorite retreat for Jesus and his disciples, but now it was a place where the full humanity of Jesus was displayed in his distress and anguish over what was about to befall him. The distress was very real, as was his anguish and travail. It was the final part of his journey to what I want to call victorious surrender. I say victorious because Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 tells us that Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross. Jesus knew that the very best would come from his surrender to the will of the Father, and this galvanized his resolve, resulting in victory over the devil and over sin. What is quite interesting is that Gethsemane literally means oil press, and the name referred to the activity that took place there, the harvesting and pressing of olives for oil. And so it was that at the place of the oil press, the will of Jesus was pressed as well, by way of great agony and sorrow, to the point that his sweat was like blood flowing down, we are told in Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Jesus gladly and willingly surrendered his life, dying on the cross, not being forced or under duress, but carried by the Father's will, assuring the very best outcome, your salvation and mine, complete, perfect, and lacking in nothing. Consequently, to follow in the footsteps of Jesus is to understand the Christian life as one of constant surrender. It is embedded in the Lord's Prayer, where we ask our Father in heaven for his kingdom to come, and that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This has to do with God's will being established in the world in general, and also our lives, implying the surrender of our will. This is necessary, since we are inherently prone to sin and being willful in a self-focused way. For this reason, surrender is not a natural human response, but often the last thing we wish to do and the last thing we get to do. Nevertheless, by God's grace, it is the final step that takes us from sorrow and turmoil to joy and peace in our lives. So, where are we today in this picture? What is it that God calls you and I to do? And are we happy to surrender gladly to his will? Here are two things for us to think about. Firstly, to realize that surrender, from a biblical perspective, is another word for obedience. It is about exchanging my will for the Father's will, and trusting that God's picture of where I'm headed with him is better and more thought through than my own version of how things ought to be. There really is no room for negotiating with God or reaching some kind of compromise. When King Saul was told by God through the prophet Samuel to go to war against the Amalekites in 1 Samuel 15, he was told to spare nothing and no one. Yet Saul did his own thing, and spared cattle and sheep, including the king of the Amalekites, Agag. Not because he felt queasy, but because he was willful. When confronted by Samuel, Saul explained that he thought it would be better to spare the best of the livestock to sacrifice to the Lord. This discussion ends with these well-known words from 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. "Does the Lord," said Samuel, "delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams." Why is it that to obey is better than sacrifice? It is because it is possible to make a sacrifice without necessarily being surrendered or even obedient. While on the other hand, obedience will require sacrifice all the time, and obedience implies surrender to God's will. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. Surrender is the life of every child of God, not just the dedicated few, because to be a Christian is to receive Christ's salvation and to submit to his lordship. The Apostle Paul understood this well. In some of his letters, he addressed his readers as Paul, called to be an apostle, a messenger who is sent by God. This is a description of an office in the church, yet it was an office requiring both service and surrender. To drive home the point, Paul in some of his letters added the words, a servant of Christ Jesus. The word servant was a term which was not used lightly, because the Greek word is doulos, and it means slave, and by definition a slave is a person owned by another. For the most part, slaves were subject to their owner's will by force, no longer free to have their own will. By contrast, God restricted Israelites from being cruel to their slaves, should they have any. They had to deal with them justly and treat them with kindness. It is in this light that Paul wore his title of slave gladly, reveling in the Old Testament picture of a slave who, in love, binds himself to his master for life. You can read about this in Exodus chapter 21, verse 2 to 6. Accordingly, Paul and other early Christians bore this title as a sincere expression of their complete surrender to God's will. And it's this kind of mindset we're called to adopt in our everyday lives as we live out our faith. As we end, surrender, we discover, is a constant theme that runs throughout the Bible and is essential if we are to walk by faith as God's people. Linked to this is the concept of delayed gratification. We may not necessarily see any point in letting go and letting God have his way, but we have to believe that God assures us that he will make all things right in the end. The joy that Jesus saw set before him would only be fully realized through his obedience and upon his resurrection and ascension to be at the right hand of the Father. Obedience that he gave willingly and with implicit trust. Likewise, every time we surrender our lives to God in one area or another, it is done with trust, believing that God is completely reliable and true to his word. I'm sure that each of us has a story in which we finally had to say, Lord Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. But we may also have stories of how we still struggle to let go. Nevertheless, as we walk with Jesus on this journey of faith, his call is one which seeks our surrender so that we may know the joy of the Lord to be our strength always. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you are so long-suffering towards us as we pull this way and that, wanting to express our own will, even when it does not accord with your will as revealed in Scripture. Please would you grant us the grace to live humbly before you and learn from you what is your good and perfect will for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. And God bless you.